The wonder of summer, sub specie aeternitatis, and particularly in a climate like ours, long in darkness and deep in cold, the wonder that is of the fourscore summers God gives you at the largest extent of God's favor is itself a matter for reflection in the spirit of the readings for this Lord's Day, all four of which announce with repeated redolent splendor the grace of God in nature herself. Let us meditate together today for a few moments by taking a homiletical walk down a dusty summer road. In the mind's eye and with the sun upon our backs, let us meander a moment and let us see what we can see. After all, Jesus taught in parables, teaching not one thing without a parable. Start small. There in front of your left moccasin moves a lonely red ant, the lowliest of creatures, yet like a Connecticut Yankee bursting with the two revolutionary virtues, industry and frugality. Benjamin Franklin wrote, admiring such frugality and industry, and dubious of much dogmatic preaching, "None preaches better than the ant, and he says nothing." A good reminder. While we step around the little ant, the little insect recalls others, grasshoppers, flies, locusts, simple creatures. Our dear friends prefer the heat of the West and its insects to the rain of the East and ours. The locusts, burning dry heat, flat, arid landscape, lack of water out west would seem to offer no competition. Yet, we honor them, we love them, and we love the virtue of good people like them farther west than Route 128. And we love the simple rhythms of town life there and elsewhere, summer gatherings, reunions, Little League, band concerts, parades. One said, the people there, out there, they are folks with good hearts. And as Jesus taught his students, if people have some measure of goodness themselves, think how good their maker must be. Maybe that is the wonder of summer, to pause and appreciate good people, simple good people, folks with good hearts, east, west, north, south. We can stop up the path just a bit. Raspberries, blackberries, all kinds of wild fruit are plentiful now. Jesus taught us to ask simply for bread and a name. Daily, we need food and forgiveness. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we forgive all who are indebted to us. What the bread does for the body, pardon does for the soul. And one of the gifts of summer is the time and leisure to remember this. A church should be fullest in the summer for this reason, this recognition of our ultimate needs, found in wonder, found in transcendence, found in the invisible, found in God. Would you really want to lead a life bereft of wonder, transcendence, the invisible, and God? Our neighbor has baked some of these wild berries into morning muffins. We stop to savor them with butter and coffee. We listen to one another along the path, so we are nourished by one another and made ready for the next steps in the journey. So our scripture teaches us this morning, a love song in a vineyard, a cloud of witnesses, the appearance of earth and sky, mountains covered with shade. Hear the prophetic words, but hear first the broad ground of being, natural background, backdrop, not the nature of ministry, so important, but the ministry of nature to you this summer. Maybe this is the meaning of summer, to pause and make space for real worship, for that which can feed our hungers and set us free for the next adventure. Up ahead, there is an old fence. For a river to be a river, it needs riverbanks high enough to contain the flowing water. For a lake to hold its integrity, it needs a shoreline that stands and lasts. For a field to retain any semblance of usefulness, it needs fences to mark its beginnings and endings. For an individual to have any identity, one needs the limits of positive improvement, as Jesus taught about perseverance, and of protective caution, as Jesus taught about times of trial. For a life, your life, to have meaning and coherence, it needs those riverbanks, shorelines, fences, and limits that give life shape and substance. We can spend some summertime mending fences, especially at a time and across a country so keenly divided, a house divided against itself. Mending fences is hard work, but utterly crucial. Keep your friendships, all your friendships, in good repair, and mend the fences where they need it. Think, heal, right, love. Think, heal, right, love. Some years ago, I came by this same old fence. I was walking with my dad, as it happened. We had some coffee and a muffin. Then we started off together down the old road, he to walk with a gnarled walking stick, and I to jog after my own eccentric fashion. But first, for a mile or so, up to the same fence, to the place where the road parts, we walked together. We shuffled and talked a little, remembering the name of a former neighbor, spotting a new garden planted, making a plan or two for later on. We remembered an old friend, an old-style doctor long dead. He remembered that doctor who came to visit him the day his mother died. "It's hard when your mother dies," he said. "It gets you right in the chest." I remembered that doctor swimming the length of the lake, and while he did so, barking various orders at the universe from a good side stroke, and at some of his patients along the shoreline riverbank fence, along the virtuous limits that make a life. We came to a fork, one taking the high road and one the low, and with that, an embrace and a word and a glance, and we were alone again. Maybe this is the point of summer, to set limits and keep them, to mend our fences and protect them, to honor one another in faith and love. This is a clear day in our summer reverie, but even so, there are a few dancing clouds, white and bright. We try to make sense of the summer and to make space for the summer and to honor this season, one that brings together meteorological splendor and theological insight. Here at Marsh Chapel, we put together different summer experiences, a wedding and a luncheon one day, a talk on summer reading recommendations another, a brunch to honor parents, dads, and all, a vacation Bible school for the young, a holiday brunch, an annual summer national preacher series, and fellowship each week on the plaza to allow meteorology and theology to dance well together. There is a dimension of possibility alive in the summer that is hard to approximate in the rest of the year. We alter our summer habits, it may be, Not at all to suggest that devotion is less central now, for in some ways, summer ought to be the most spiritual of the seasons, but rather to accommodate our life to the necessary rhythms of life all around us. It is astounding to read in the gospel that the kingdom of heaven is hidden, small, lovely, precious, immaterial, consequential, and secret. But so Jesus teaches us, saying by saying, parable by parable. The summer is the season, and devotion is the focus of all such wonder and possibility. Maybe this is the gift of summer, to pause and allow a fuller consideration of all the manifold possibilities all around us. A summer wind accompanies us as we walk farther down the dirt road. A fawn, or was it a fox, darts into the brush. The smell of apples already ripening greets us at the turn. More sun, bigger and higher and hotter, makes us sweat. I guess every family has a family secret or two, that one subject that dominates every present moment by the sheer weight of its hidden silence, that one taboo topic that somehow screams through its apparent muteness. Dad's drinking, Junior's juvenile record, Grandpa's prison term, the so-called elephant in the room. True of nations, too, and businesses, and universities, and projects, and yes, even churches. You find it, finally, by asking gently about what is feared. The human family has the same kind of family secret, something we avoid discussing if at all possible, something that makes us fearful, something that dominates us through our code of silence. This is our mortality. Our coming death is the one thing that most makes us who we are. Mortals, creatures, sheep in another's pasture, not perfect because not perfectible. The image of God, but not God. Fear in a handful of dust. Yet we are so busy with so many other things that this elemental feature of existence we avoid. Death makes us mortal. Facing death makes us human. Death makes us mortal. Facing death makes us human. In the face of death, we turn heavily upon our faith. It is the steady and warming wind, the summer breeze of the Holy Spirit that keeps us and strengthens us all along the road. If your children ask you for something, do you not provide it? Imagine then how much more God will provide for the children beloved of that holy, loving God. You are loved. You are beloved. You are graced. You are embraced. You are a child of the living God. Maybe this is the depth of summer, to number our days that we get hearts of wisdom, to measure the mystery about us and give over our imaginations to the consideration of our limits. Wonder, meaning, point, gift, depth. May the good and gracious God, in the beauty of holiness, make of all of us attentive people, simple and true in our virtues of the heart, nourishing and nourished in pardon, disciplined by hard, even bitter fences of peace, inspired by gracious clouds billowing and high, and supported all the day long by a summer wind, a spirited faith in the face of death, and a bright willingness to continue to journey, travel, learn, and grow. Wonder, meaning, point, gift, depth. May we find a little summer beauty this morning in the ant, the berry, the fence, the cloud, the breeze, and life itself.